Preservation Society. God save Donald Duck, vaudeville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save Strawberry Jam and all the different varieties.
And yes, thank you for tuning in to The Village Green, a New England music sampler. This very homegrown program with your host, yours truly, DJ Frederick.
We are the Draft Gear Preservation Society.
This is program number 21 and part of the Homemade Radio Revolution. And as always, I'll be spinning tunes from the Gulf of Maine all the way down to New York State, from the Canadian border to Providence, Rhode Island. And all routes in between. Coming up later in the program, we're going to hear a tale by Simon Brooks, a wonderful New England storyteller. But first, we're going to hear some poetry by Timothy Mason. And it's from the compilation, This is Boston, Not Austin, Volume 2.
So my nephew shows me his baseball card collection. He brings out binders. The mythic sporting images are not perspiring in their plastic prophylactics. No card edge is bent or chipped. No gunpowder stains are showing. They are like bugs on pins or encased in amber. Perfectly preserved and perfectly dead. As he proudly points out the value of his latest page, my mind flashes back to the two battered shoe boxes now stashed in my closet, carrying the dust from many of my lives. My cards, once complete sets, 67 and 68, all tattered and scratched, taped, marked in pen, charting the trades and transformations. Me and Danny, we played out a 187-game season with our teams. Keeping statistics, we took over my TV room, his den, masking tape bases, our trombone cases making the walls of the house that Ruth built, or the home of the Braves. With a button ball, we'd slide the pitch, roll the dice, and wear out the knees of many parents sliding our cards after them. Now, 2.5 decades later, I can still see the muscular arms of Aaron, bat on shoulders, a regular for my guys, top right edge torn from bouncing off the walls, backside stats worn smooth for speed and swiftness, a sure threat to steal a base with the right wrist action. My last card in 67 was Mantle. I'd amassed doubles and triples by the score, cutting the rookie cards and taping them on to expand the roster, and then I got him. A headshot, Mickey Mantle, a face looking stupid. I had him before Danny did, kept him for reputation, then dove into the treasure Danny's uncle bestowed, Gil Hodges, Ted Williams, Whitey Ford. I got the doubles, and going to top that, I hit the library, tearing the pictures from the history books, wrapping my doubles with Ty Cobb, Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson. We expanded to the minors, the Mudhens and Bees, Pioneer League Specials, Boise, Spokane, the Negro Leagues, Kansas City Monarchs, Homestead Grays. We had a card for the commissioner, Ford Frick, and even umpires. And later, when we were older, cheerleaders taken from Playboy. If we were going to explore the off-field dimensions of the game, money was beside the point. It was a way of life that we were after. And when we saw our baseball cards, they were alive.
Out here when you light a smoke on the porch, you can hear the paper burning. Moon is the only light. In the silence you can hear it turning. Down over the ridge by the highway, you hear the cars, they come and fade. It's like that out here, you can hear things from miles out and miles away. Out here I make the only human light. I am the only human sound. It's my privilege to lie awake at night and think of what I have lost and hope for what might be found. Out here you find out who your friends are when the darkness comes and kills the day. There's an ache in every corner of the heart for the ones who are miles away. Out here there's always work to be done, and I do what I can. Came down to a choice, love or run. Winter will come and get a hold on my heart and squeeze, and I will long for your touch. Wonder what kind of phone am I, why'd I leave it if I loved it so much? I'll call you on the phone, I will struggle for the words to say. I'll swear that I am working on the things that keep me miles away. Got your rocks, got your rivers, got your trees. Nothing comes easily, but what comes has brought at last a little peace. Out here it's so silent, you can hear your heart talking. One day that heart might tell you which way to go. You might start walking. You know that I will. 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 You know I will. You know I will. Know I will. Out here when you light a smoke on the porch, you can hear the paper burning. The moon is the only light I hear it turning.
There are many tricksters. There's Mr. Reynard the Fox, Coyote, and then there's Anansi the Spider. Now Anansi one day decided that he wanted a story, but all stories were kept by the Sky Chief. And so Anansi decided to climb the highest tree there was in the forest. Oh, Sky Chief! Sky Chief! Called Anansi.
Who is this calling me?
It is I, Anansi the Spider.
And what is it that you want, Anansi the Spider?
Well, I was wondering if I could have a story.
You want a story, Anansi? You can't afford a story.
Well, how much are they?
It will cost you, Anansi, the same as it costs everyone. If you want a story, you shall need to bring me the python, the black cat, a swarm of hornets, and a fairy.
A fairy?
A fairy.
Okay.
And so Anansi swung on his thread from branch to branch and danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place where the python slept, coiled up in his roost on the branch of a tree.
Oh, Python,
called Anansi, keeping a safe distance, for he wasn't sure
when the python woke up if it would be hungry or not. Oh, python!
Is that you, Anansi?
Yes, it is I.
Is that so?
Yes. I met with the Sky Chief the other day, and he said that there was another snake in the forest, and we were wondering if you were still the longest one.
Is that so?
It is so. And so the Sky Chief sent me to measure you.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so. And I thought that if you could go down onto the ground, then maybe I could measure you with this stick.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so.
And so the python agreed and slithered down the tree. And Anansi said,
could you straighten yourself out in a big long line, and then I'll measure you with this stick. And I'll start with your head.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so.
And so the python stretched itself out in a great long line. And Anansi took the stick and hit him on the head. He then pulled out a sack and started to pull, and pull, and pull, until the python was in the sack, and then he spun a thread around the neck of the sack, threw the sack over his shoulder, and climbed up the tallest tree in the forest and called out, "Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
Yes?
It is I, Anansi. I have something for you.
Let me see.
And so the Sky Chief opened up the sack and out slithered a rather dazed python.
So, am I still the longest snake in the jungle?
Yes,
said Anansi with a smile.
Hmm, said the Sky Chief. I see you have done well, but what remains still remains.
I know.
And so Anansi swung on his thread from branch to branch and danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place where the black cat was known to travel. And so Anansi dug a great pit. And then he made a huge web across the pit. And then he covered the web with leaves and branches and brush so that you couldn't see it. And he waited for the black cat to come along. And it wasn't long until he heard pad, pad, pad. And he waited and hid. Pad, pad, pad came the great black cat. And then Anansi saw the great pad, pad, pads that were pad, pad, padding. And he saw the strong arms, the powerful shoulders, the broad neck, the great jaw filled with the sharp teeth and the yellow eyes staring out in front of it.
I didn't know it was that black cat,
said Anansi, for it was the panther. And the panther walked straight across the brush until the trap was sprung. The panther was not happy. Anansi jumped down and grabbed his huge web and spun a thread around its neck. And he pulled the fighting cat out of the pit, threw it into a sack, threw the sack across his shoulder and climbed up the highest tree in the forest and called out,
"Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
Nancy! Nancy!
Yes, it is I. I have something for you.
Let me see.
And so the Sky Chief opened up the sack, and out jumped the panther, and it shot off down the tree back to its home.
You have done well, Anansi, but what remains still remains.
I know.
And so on his thread, Anansi swung from branch to branch and danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place of hornets. And then Anansi watched until he called out,
"Oh, Hornet Queen!
The Sky Chief has asked me to count you all, and I'm finding it ever so difficult, for you seem to move around so much. Well, this is our nature. That is what we do. We move around a lot. Well, said Anansi, I was wondering if you could all fly into my sack one by one, and then I could count you. I suppose we could do that. That's possible.
And so the Hornet Queen had all of her hornets fly into the sack one by one. And Anansi pretended to count them all.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Until the Hornet Queen was the last one in. And he spun his thread around the neck of the sack, threw the sack across his shoulder, made his way to the tallest tree in the forest and climbed up to the top and called out, "Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
Anansi! Anansi!
Yes, it is I. I have something for you.
Yes, I thought you might.
And he opened up the sack. And out flew all of the hornets until the Hornet Queen, the last one out, came up and said,
"So, Anansi, were you able to count us all?" Yes, I was, said Anansi.
And off she flew, along with the rest of her hornets, back to their nest in the forest.
You have done well, Anansi. But what remains still remains.
I know.
And so Anansi swung on his thread from branch to branch and danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place where the fairies flew. First, Anansi found some thorns. And then he found a block of wood. And he started to carve into the block of wood. And he carved and carved until he had carved a baby with its hands outstretched out of this block of wood. He then found the stickiest sap that he could find, and he covered the baby doll with the sticky sap. And then he took some sweet potatoes, some yams, and he cooked them up with a little bit of honey, and he mashed them up, and he placed them in the outstretched hands of this baby doll. And he then took a thin thread, wrapped it around the baby doll's neck, and took the thread behind a tree where he hid, and he waited, and waited, and waited. And it wasn't long before a large fairy appeared. And the fairy saw the baby with its outstretched hands containing the sweet potatoes all mashed up and smelling really nice. And it flew down and settled down next to it.
Baby, is that sweet potato? Said the fairy.
And Nancy took the thread and very carefully pulled on it so it gave the appearance that the baby doll was nodding.
Do you think I could have some of that sweet potato, please, baby?
Again, Anansi tugged on the thread, and again the baby doll nodded. And so the fairy began to eat the sweet potato until it was all gone.
Thank you, baby,
said the fairy. But Anansi did nothing, and therefore the baby doll said nothing.
I said, thank you, baby.
But again, the doll did nothing.
I said, thank you, baby.
And then the fairy pushed the doll, but got his hand stuck.
Oh, baby, let go. Let go, baby, let go.
And then he got his other hand and pushed against the baby.
Oh, baby, baby, let go of me, let go of me.
And he continued to struggle, but the more he struggled, the more he stuck. He put his foot up.
Oh, no.
And Nancy came out from behind the tree.
I have you now.
And so Anansi put the struggling, sticky fairy into a sack, climbed the tallest tree in the forest and called out, "Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
Anansi! Anansi! What have you for me this time?
You shall see what you shall see,
said Anansi. And the Sky Chief opened up the sack and out flew a very sticky, very upset fairy.
"Hmm," said the Sky Chief. "You have done what kings and knights have not been able to do. You have done what princess warriors and damsels have not been able to do. You have brought me all the things that I asked of you. I shall not give you one story."
"What? Not one story?"
"No. I shall give you all my stories."
And so the Sky Chief told Anansi all his stories. And Anansi, being Anansi, he shared the stories too. And that is how I can bring you this story to you today.
Neon glistens on the street. Passing by the people that you meet. Frigid strangers in the night. Hiding hearts from the light. All the people rushing by. Straight ahead, won't look you in the eye. Edgy hustle in their walk. Shadows lurking in the dark. Saying nothing when they talk. When it all comes down in this gritty town. Feels like prison every day. All at once, you've gotta get away. Thinking how you'll run and hide. Keeping laughter tucked inside. Seeking trust far and wide. When it all comes down. Thank you.
Ferris and White. From their CD, Where Do We Go From Here? And You Know Who Your Friends Are. You can find out more about Ferris and White at www.sferisandwhite.com. Before that, we heard New England storyteller Simon Brooks from his CD Secondhand Tales. That was How Anansi Received Stories. For more information about Simon Brooks, you can check out his website at www.diamondscree.com.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. Yesterday, June 21st, was the longest day of the year. This was also known as the summer solstice, which literally means when the sun, or the sol, stands still. This day is celebrated around the world, most notably in England, at Stonehenge, where thousands gather to welcome the sunrise on the summer solstice. Scientifically speaking, the summer solstice occurs exactly when the Earth's axial tilt is most inclined towards the sun. Famously, pagans call the moon that appears after the summer solstice the midsummer moon, or the honeymoon, for the mead made from fermented honey that was part of the wedding ceremonies performed at the summer solstice. Pagans also celebrated midsummer with bonfires, when couples would leap through the flames. They believed their crops would grow as high as the couples were able to jump. Generally, midsummer was thought to be a time of magic, when evil spirits were said to appear. In order to thwart them, pagans, druids typically, often wore protective garlands of herbs and flowers. This time of year also, between the planting and the harvesting of the crops, was a traditional month for weddings. The reason for this is because many ancient people believed that the grand sexual union of the goddess and the god occurred in early May at Beltane. Since it was unlucky to compete with the gods, or goddesses for that matter, many couples delayed their weddings until June. And June remains a favorite month for marriage today. In some traditions, in fact, quote, newlywed couples were fed dishes and beverages that featured honey for the first month of their married life to encourage love and fertility. The surviving vestige of this tradition lives on in the name given to the holiday immediately after the marriage ceremony, the honeymoon. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories.
Going to close out the program with a perennial band from New England, and I actually lived next door to one of the members of this band once upon a time in Deerfield, New Hampshire. His name was Brian Thomas, and the band's name is Plan 9. They are still recording today. I believe they are about 30 years or more that they have been together as a band. And this is from a rare 7-inch single. The tune is called Walls of Paradise. Thanks for listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler.
Without stretched
You're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler with DJ Frederick. And I want to thank you for tuning in to this homemade broadcast featuring a range of New England-based music that resonates from the concert hall, the local pub, and the Village Green.
We are the Desperate Dead Appreciation Society.
This is program number 18. If you would like to communicate with me, I'd love to hear from you. My address is DJ Frederick, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278, or by email at singinggrove@conknet.com. Well, coming up in this edition of The Village Green, we're going to hear Greedy Cherry, the Knee Ningy Band, Eddie Mateau, Small Mountain Bear, and Pat Wells. But we're going to start off with the duo of Odds Bodkin and Steve Shook, who recorded as Wellspring, and they recorded a couple of gigs live at the Folkway in Peterborough, New Hampshire, back in 1991. This is an absolutely gorgeous song called Liberty Farm.
Long ago I was a different man. Love was everywhere I turned my hand. That was the year we moved to Liberty Farm. Always out of money, didn't give a darn. When your heart has a dream, you're safe from harm. And so we slept on the floor. Look at you crazy dreamers, look at you star-eyed fools. Do you think you can get by on hope alone and survive on breaking the rules? Better give up now, you star-eyed dreamers. If you fail, you could end up poor and end your days looking out the door of a place like Liberty. Go of it, all those dreams inside their hearts.
simple folk can't understand the wise words of the frail old man. They disregard his nonsense. Still behind the cabin door, his voice tries to give them more. They dismiss him offhand. Summer breeze and winter snow, he lives up on the hill, keeping mostly to himself. Sits by the windowsill. Go look deep into his eyes and see the years gone by. Softly ask for truth and he'll reply. William Isaac was the man who climbed the hill with heart in hand to learn about his destiny, to find if love was meant to be. He rapped upon the cabin door. The old man asked of him what for. Will replied, my soul is dead. I asked advice and my friend said, summer breeze and winter snow, he lives up on the hill, keeping mostly to himself. Sits by the windowsill. Will looked in the old man's eyes and saw the years gone by. Softly asked for truth, old man replied. Successful business and a wife. I can't tell what the old man said, but I can tell you this instead. Summer breeze and winter snow, he lives up on the hill, keeping mostly to himself. Sits by the windowsill. Go look deep into his eyes and see the years gone by. Softly ask for truth and he'll reply.
Greedy Cherry with a tune called William Isaac from their CD EP. And for more information, you can check out greedycherry.com. Very versatile band from the Massachusetts area, I believe around Boston. Before that, the Nee Ningi Band from their 1981 LP, Get Nung, and that was Bonaparte's Retreat. I understand that the Nee Ningi Band has just had some of their work reissued on CD, so it's going to be pretty exciting to find out about that. You're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler with DJ Frederick, and you can discover our low-tech blog at newenglandmusic.blogspot.com with playlists, links, and more. From 1971, this is Eddie Motteau from his LP No Turning Around in a song called Jesse.
Jesse left home, thinking ahead, looking for someone to love. Flew into town, found him a bed, counting on help from above.
take a drive. He gambled alone, drank his way home. The one friend he knew he'd buy. Oh, the whiskey was fine and the sparkling wine. Jesse was wearing a crown. Grinning was all that he gave. He couldn't tell just how far he fell until he was too deep to save. Oh, the whiskey was fine and the sparkling wine. Jesse was wearing.
Once more, away. New England's Small Mountain Bear with a tune called Untitled Spy Song. You can find Small Mountain Bear music at smallmountainbear.tumblr.com. He has a wonderful array of different tunes to download, all of which are excellent, and I do encourage you to go and discover his music. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Village Green, a New England music sampler, playing all genres of music from New Hampshire and New England. This is program number 18, reminding you that you can discover our low-tech blog at newenglandmusic.blogspot.com. I'm going to close out the show with two songs from a woman who resides in New Hampshire. Her name is Pat Wells, and back in the 1970s, when I was a local and folk music aficionado, I had her album Hometown Lady, which has been reissued by Yoga Records, and you can check them out at www.yogarecords.com. Yoga Records specializes in finding out-of-print gems and bringing them back into the digital and modern age, some of which are released on vinyl and some of which are available as MP3 files. Regardless, I am very grateful that they're doing the work that they're doing, and rediscovering Pat Wells' music has been absolutely wonderful. This time of year, as I'm recording this podcast, we're kind of gathering in, getting ready for winter, getting the firewood ready, sweeping the chimneys, checking the windows, and just getting ready to bundle up for the coming New England winter. So these songs are really, really appropriate. New Hampshire Nights and Chopping Wood. This is from Pat Wells' LP, Hometown Lady.
Your coat's real tight, 'cause those New Hampshire nights, they're cold.
That was Pat Wells from her LP, Hometown Lady. This is the Village Green with DJ Frederick, playing music from New England, past and present in all genres. I do hope that you have enjoyed the broadcast. We started off with Wellspring, which was Steve Shook and Odds Bodkin, the song called Liberty Farm. Then the Neeningi Band, Bonaparte's Retreat, Greedy Cherry with William Isaac, Eddie Matteau, a tune called Jesse, Small Mountain Bear, Untitled, Spy Song, and of course Pat Wells with New Hampshire Nights and Chopping Wood. This is DJ Frederick. You've been listening to program number 18. The Village Green is a production of Seldom Heard Radio Productions.
Seldom Heard Radio, they'll play seldom heard tune. They'll play seldom heard tune. They'll play seldom heard tune.